Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. Today we take you back to 1973 and the launch of a road safety campaign in the Netherlands which would revolutionise the country's infrastructure. It was called Stop the Child Murders. Lucy Burns has been speaking to one of the organisers.
Well, let me tell you how it all started for me.
It's 1973 and young mother Martje van Putten is living in Amsterdam.
And I lived there as a young mother with my one-year-old boy. And I had seen so often situations already there, very dangerous and accidents. At a certain day, there was a car that hit a young girl. I think she was 8, 9 years old. Luckily, the kid survived. The bike was broken. But there was at the side of the street an old lady, and she had an umbrella. And she took it as Mary Poppins up, and she really ran as fast as she could go as an old lady and put the top of the umbrella in the stomach of the guy. And she was so angry, she almost hit him with that umbrella. And this was a fantastic thing. You feel, if she can do that, why can't we do anything?
Traffic in the Netherlands had been getting worse for some years, with more and more cars on the road and nearly 500 children killed each year in traffic accidents. And just as Martje was noticing the problem, it became front page news with an article by journalist Vic Langenhoff.
His kid was hit by a car and died on her way to school on a sort of small roads in the province. And he made a quick study on how many kids were killed on the way to school and on roads anyway, and there was this title all over the paper saying stop the kindermord, which means, you know, stop killing our kids, because it came out that many kids on an annual basis were killed in traffic. And it was a shock, and then people reacted and other papers started to write about it, so we were angry, and that's how a group started.
And so people began to come together under the slogan Stop the Kindermord, Stop the Child Murders.
So we started a campaign to begin with in the western part of the country, around Amsterdam and The Hague. And so it was enlarging. So more groups of parents in other cities were standing up. And we rented a little office in an old shop in the centre of town of Amsterdam, and we had money enough to hire an assistant, you know, to do the administration. But the majority of the group, we were all voluntary working in it.
They started with direct action, getting out to reclaim the streets from cars for pedestrians and cyclists.
And we took over the streets in an area of the city that no cars were allowed in, and putting our dining tables in the middle of the street, and all families sitting there and eating. It was all so friendly in the 70s, and it was such an open time. It was so easy to talk to everyone, still on a human scale. So someone in Amsterdam that wanted to meet parliamentarians, maybe today it's surprising if you think about it, that we called them and we got them on the line and we went to The Hague and we got a coffee and you sat down with parliamentarians.
It must have been quite intimidating, though, for you, age sort of 23, to be negotiating with these kind of high-level politicians.
Yeah, well, you are saying it, and I'm wondering now by your question, yes, maybe so.
And their campaign also came at just the right moment in Dutch politics.
There are over 3 million cars in Holland, and on any normal Sunday you'd expect to find at least half of that number out on the roads, and it's virtually deserted.
In 1973, the Netherlands were hit by an oil embargo by the oil-producing Arab states, angry with the Dutch for supporting Israel in the Yom Kippur War. Fuel shortages across the country led to petrol rationing and the introduction of regular Sundays when cars were banned from the road.
And we said those days are our days. We take the street back to our hands. And so we drove, for example, on one of those days, we drove from the centre of the city to Amsterdam North, and there's this tunnel. And people were already angry in those days that when the tunnel was built, it was only built for cars and not for bikes. There was no biking path through the tunnel. So we said, OK, now we go through the tunnel. And in fact, I have to say, it was a little bit dangerous because there was still some traffic around, like ambulances and police cars and fireware and some people that got permission. For example, doctors going to hospitals or so. So we went with a group of parents on our bikes, kids on it, singing through the tunnel. And then at the end of the tunnel, we were confronted with the police cars that stopped us, and the kids were taken in the police cars and our bikes, and we as well. The police took us to the, they said, "You were a bit irresponsible doing this," they told us as young parents, and of course they were right, but it was at the same time fun. Well, nothing happened.
The campaign caught the public mood. There was even a song about it, In Lied for Kindern, or A Song for Children, which imagined children playing in the streets, undisturbed by cars. By and large, it was a good-natured campaign, although much of Van Putten does have some regrets.
The only difficult moment that I remember from those days is once it must have been a blackout of someone at a certain moment when we made banners. Someone found out that the Minister of Transport also had lost his child with an accident. And in a banner there was a sort of reference somewhat to it. I don't really recall the text as it was, but it was clear for everyone. This is about the minister's son losing his own son, so he should listen more to us than others. And that, I think, you shouldn't do. It was a bit shameful because it's so personal. You shouldn't do that, in my view.
The group wasn't just about demonstrations. Some of the campaigners were professional urban designers, keen to put their new ideas for road safety into practice.
It was a sort of first test in a living area, what we call a woon erf. An erf is what you speak about when you talk about the area around a farmhouse. And the woon erf we created for living areas where cars were made to drive very slow, not faster than 30 kilometers an hour, and bumps in the road, and no straight roads anymore. The cars had to really right and left, you know, to go through the street with the sort of flower pots in the middle of the street. You had to turn around them, so your speed couldn't be faster than 30 kilometers. And we were talking to the officials at the ministry, designing it and making it a law.
Did you meet any resistance? Was there anyone who did not agree?
Well, that's a good question, and I have to think about it. I don't think ever that I met someone. Well, yeah, maybe not people in a personal, let's say, a position, but the automobile clubs. They were saying maybe that we were exaggerating a bit. And of course we did. It was the only way to get attention.
Some of the group's ideas, like the woon erf or the expansion of cycle lanes, would go on to spread across the Netherlands and later across the world.
I think the feeling we had was that we could take the society and our circumstances and living conditions in our hands. It was welcomed also by the media, and I still believe, if I think about a city as London, for example, where you see nowadays that people are really trying for environmental reasons, and there are good reasons for it, to use more bikes. It's fun, it's good for our health, it's against obesitas, it is not producing the CO2, so for climate reasons it's a good thing to do. But cities have to design it and make it possible so that we can do this in a safe way.
Does it make you feel proud?
Oh wow, what a question. No, yes and no. It's a good thing. To me it's not something typical Dutch, that we maybe started this. You only wish that it's done in other cities.
Marcia van Putten went on to be a journalist and a member of the European Parliament. She now works for the European Investment Bank. The Netherlands still have a reputation as one of the safest places in the world to walk or cycle.
And you hoort na al die jaren, wie niet de weg is, is gezien.
Witness was written and presented by Lucy Burns. For our complete range of downloads and for our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.